Look at your neighbor, say the devil is a liar. It's one of them songs you're gonna ride down the street in the summer. You're gonna open the sunroof and roll your windows down so you can raise up this song. I want you to go home singing it tonight. Listen. Say the devil is a liar.
Say the devil is a liar.
What the Lord has for me.
What the Lord has for me.
Say the devil is a liar.
Say the devil is a liar.
And the truth made me free.
But the truth made me free.
Said I'm gonna run on and see what the end's gonna be.
See what the end's gonna be.
I'm gonna hold on, yeah, till I get my victory. Say the devil is a lie.
Say the devil is.
What the Lord has is for me.
What the Lord has is for me.
Said the devil is a liar.
Said the devil is a liar.
So the truth made me free.
But the truth made me free.
Listen, so I'm gonna stay here. Listen, y'all, I refuse to be run away.
Refuse to be run away.
I'm gonna wait here. And I'ma praise him every day. Hey, y'all say, say the devil is a liar.
Say, say the devil is a liar.
What the Lord has is for me.
What the Lord has
right here, y'all say. Give it to me, darling. I want y'all to say this. And the truth has made me free. Y'all got it? Y'all got it? Let me hear you, church, one more time. Say, and the truth has made me free. Oh. You got it, Joe? Come on, one more time. Say, and the truth has made me set free.
Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I feel free and I feel free. Yes. Welcome, family, too. Let's talk about it straight here on the Now Network, co-hosted by myself, Pastor E, and Pastor Valores Brooke. Yes, Pastor V also. And yes, we're here to keep an exclusive outlook on all kinds of situations. Oh, we're gonna dig deep. This is just the beginning. This is just scratching the surface to what God is going to allow to happen here. We want to invite one to get on this broadcast tonight and join in the conversation. Let's talk about it. We are dedicated here, family, about having real talk, dealing with real issues while finding achievable godly solutions. And yes, the team of myself and Pastor V will explore issues relevant to our daily walk from both male and female perspective, from a singles perspective, from a married perspective. Oh yeah, we got some folks out there in the covenant land that are married. And yes, we seek the truth without compromising the word of God. We speak the truth only from a biblical perspective. We are calling all men and women of truth to join the discussion and break the chains of our past. Bring your real voice, your real issues, your real listening hearts as we discover the truth now. Let's talk about it and let's collaborate. I want to welcome in my co-hostess. I'm the host. She's the hostess. So I want to welcome in my hostess this evening. Good evening, Pastor Valoris. How are you?
Good evening, Pastor E. I am wonderful. How are you this evening?
I'm excellent. Man, doing what Pastor E do all over the place.
Yes. I saw you up there in the airplane in the Big Bird the other day going to what you call it, the H-Town.
H-Town,
I was like, I only know Chi-Town. I don't know about H-Town. So you gotta come up a little bit north a little bit for me, though.
Ooh, only in July and August.
Right.
I lived in Grand Rapids for 4 years. I worked for Procter & Gamble and did some Kellogg's contracts up in that area in Grand Rapids. So I know what it's like, but I know the time springs up there, when to come and when to not. It'd be cold up there.
The heating company been still getting money from me on last week because we was cold. So I feel you on that. But, yeah, so let's talk about it. You ready on left for Let's Talk About It tonight?
Oh, yes, I'm ready. Tonight. I'm ready. You sparked a needed conversation. Something this is most people don't want to talk about. Most people only want to share that they go through situations in their life. And that's what Let's Talk About It is all about. Let's be real and transparent that someone says, you know what, let me go to another level of transparency, because you can't fix anything you don't first of all understand. And then you can't get the right additive. I was sharing on Wake Up, Get Up, Moving Your Purpose this morning, is that people try to go cold turkey or get a medication. And except first understanding what it is you have and what you're dealing with, and then knowing if you replace it with something better, you'll never go back. But if you cold turkey something and try to starve yourself and lock yourself in the closet, as soon as you say daylight, you're going to go right back to what you came from. So I'm trying to change right. the motivation.
And see, what I call that, I call that most people, Pastor E, not y'all, don't shoot me now, but most people feel that they're practicing deliverance when they're really practicing abstinence.
Ooh.
Because as long as you are absent from that thing, yeah, you can feel that you're delivered all day long. But get back around it.
Come on.
Get in the vicinity of it. Then
Yes. You'll
know for real if you delivered. So
that's
really what's been happening, is that there's been a lot of abstinence and not deliverance. And deliverance, like you said, is getting to the root cause of the matter. And just to share a little bit, you know, because you saw it on Facebook, but they're going to probably have to cut my scar off because they can't find the root cause as to why an old scar that I've been had for 7 years is constantly getting infected. So therefore, since on the surface they can't figure it out, then they said we're going to have to do surgery and we're going to have to cut it out. So sometimes, as men and women of God, stop trying to take care of the surface issue. You're going to have to go through that cutting and get cut on by God to get the root of that matter out.
You're going to start something. You always do this, but I'm starting to understand it's a purge. I was sharing with somebody today. They was like, man, I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And this, I said, you still have not purged. When you surrender all, I'm talking really surrendering and knowing that you're going to hear a lot of this tonight, because Wednesday and Friday, the principles are still fired up in my belly. Mm-hmm. But most of us look for other ways instead of seeking first. It was right. Just one word on Wednesday, seek. If things going crazy, seek. Somebody said, seek what? Right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all. I love that word when it gets into the God, because then there's no lack. All these things will be added unto you. Heavenly Father God, we want to just get in your presence right now and pray in agreement for our partner, for our sister, for our family, our covenant a member, Heavenly Father God. We want to pray and pour out your blood on her body right now, that the scars, the deformities, anything that is not of you, Lord, that it is now healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, yes, we know you've sent the right surgeon. Oh, yes, we know you sent the right doctor. But we are praying that healing falls on her right now, that the procedure is less complicated, is more of already done and just needs to be finalized. So, Heavenly Father God, we touch and agree. And we believe by faith that it's done, that, Lord, you are going to reign, and you're going to reign through her testimony, that you're going to reign as she seeks you first, that you're going to reign as the doctor says, what happened? I saw one thing and now I see something else. And then you will get the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we give it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, amen. I had to get that one in there. Some people say, we'll pray at the end. Pray now. If I got a problem, pray for me. Pray with me now. Let me take that pray for me out of there, but pray with me. I want to just kind of back out a little bit. I've done my research, and I got some statistics and some both sides of this, but I want to just kind of release it to you and let you host this one as we collaborate, and I'll come back in when you've kind of set the ground, you know what I mean. I can't get the word out. Set the foundation of where we're going to go tonight. And I'm believing God is going to be glorified, because somebody is going to be changed.
All right, for sure. Don't go too far, because you know I love how you jump in and you know you help me take.
Oh, I'm right here.
Further.
Yes. I don't do scripts, right? Because I can just tell the spirit be hitting me like, okay, here she's got it set. It's about that time. So we're good. I'm here.
So most of it, you know, as we said, we're going to talk about a little about depression today. And this subject did not come up because of the recent events. This is something that has been dropped in my spirit for the last about week and a half. And what I'm teaching you today, men and women of God, is by experience. Not by collecting, you know, and I want him to do the data. Nothing wrong with the data. But this is by experience. This is by what Pastor E just said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because when I began to feel a troubling in my spirit, when my mind began to race and my heart began to race and my emotions began to change and my behavior began to change, I began to seek God. And then when he said, and all these things will be added, most people look at all these things meaning material things. But when I began to seek God, what began to be added is the understanding of what was going on in my life. And so all these things began to come out and God began to show me what was going on with me. And the word that he spoke to me was, you are depressed. And I was like, well, God, it doesn't look the same. It doesn't, you know, I know textbook depression. I know what that looked like. And then what God said is, why would the enemy use anything textbook for you to be able to figure it out? So what I want to talk about is the hidden signs and symptoms of Christian children of God, lovers of God, leaders of God, teachers of God, preachers of God, of what depression may look like in your life. Because again, our signs and symptoms are different than the textbook symptoms. The reason, because the enemy is not going to let you have ordinary symptoms to be able to figure this thing out and what you're going through. Because if you figure it out, then you can get the help that you need. And if y'all know, the devil don't never want us to get any type of help about anything. He'd rather for you to lose your mind, quit, give up, commit suicide, that's natural suicide, spiritual suicide, and be ineffective to anyone else who may need you. Okay? So, what I want to do, Pastor, you got anything to say about that? Because, I was about to take off. I'm so sorry. Because it's interesting and amazing how the enemy does this. And I now when God began to show me, now I can see it on my other brothers and sisters and say that's what's been going on in their life. So let's just talk about it real quick. So get some pen and paper. I need y'all to write these things down because I need you to now check some of these things I'm going to talk about. It's going to be five things that the Lord give us time to talk about them. Five things that I want to talk about that are the signs and symptoms of God's people in a depressed state. Okay? Number one, lack of enthusiasm in wanting to participate in church programs or events. When you used to be excited for what was going on in your church and you was excited for what you were doing in your church and what was all going on around the church or in anybody's church, now you hope that you have to work or they cancel the program. I know we can't run 100 all the time, but what happens is now you're not even budging no more to even take a step. That is one of the signs of, and I was wondering what was happening because I was losing my enthusiasm. Where Valoris would be there, I don't care if it was a children's program, a mother's program, or whatever. I love to be around church. I love to be around the people of God. I always need to be there. After a while, I just did not want to go anymore. Love God. Love God's word. Love the people of God. But when it came to certain things, I started to lose enthusiasm. So I don't know if anybody, so that's number one. That's an easier one because I'm going to get a little bit harder. So I started you off with an easier one. Take a look at your situation. Take a look at what's going on now. And guess what? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you what I did. I started blaming it on the ministry. When it didn't have anything to do with the ministry. My bishop is a wonderful bishop. My first lady is a beautiful first lady. The people in the church are one. We love on each other. We go bike riding together. We do all kinds of things together. So it was nothing but I started blaming the ministry, thinking it was them when it really was me. So take a look at that and what I just said and see if that is any parts of you at all. Pastor, you got something to say about that one?
No. I'm taking notes. I'm going to come. Oh, no. As you finish, I'm going to be there.
Okay.
But one thing is you said, because I did have one little trigger and I was about to pick the mic up when you said it the first time, is that church doesn't even really address this subject. They really paint a different picture of depression being like a character defect or a spiritual disorder, instead of understanding that first of all, spirits are what we're really dealing with in this thing. And you know, the enemy, as we know, is here to what? Rob, to kill, and destroy, not your flesh. I tell this all the time. You don't want your bank account or your money. And yes, those things get affected. But when your mind is in a state of worry, oh, that's where depression starts. When worry is in the place. The Bible says you should not worry. That's why I say seek. But if we see and really get down to it, and I'm loving that we're talking about this tonight, because some people are going to go back to their church and say, you know what? We need to talk about this because this is what you said. And now we've got some word that can show you some folks that was in the Bible that have been affected by depression because of worry.
Correct. Because what people need to understand this. Hear us, because like you said, most people think that it's a defect of some sort or your defect. Well, you need to go pray about it. Maybe you just need a fast or a shoe. Okay, what it is, it's an outside force.
Or most people say, no, go talk to your doctor. They'll give you a pill for depression.
Right.
And then before you know, you're worse because now you got anxiety.
And then I need my pills. And guess what? We want understand this, and we're gonna talk about that on one show. How sin mutates. Okay, those pills mutate, because guess what? You can take them pills all you want. Them pills ain't going to be strong enough after a while if you still don't deal with the situation. Then you're going to have to go to something a little bit harder, okay? And so we don't want you to go there. But understand this, okay, please hear me. Write this down, y'all, and it's coming to me. It's an outside force, which is a situation or a circumstance or a person that has taken an inside residence in your heart or your mind and your emotions, and that has affected you and changed your behavior. So understand, listen, people of God. It has everything to do with you, but it's not about you. Y'all not hearing me? Because
go on and say that one again.
Listen, it has to deal with you, but it's not about you. Because how it started in the beginning, it was an outside force. It was an outside situation, whether it was losing a job, whether it was getting a bad report of the doctor, whether it was the kids acting up, whether it was a divorce, whether it was an outside situation that you allowed to take inside residence in your mind, your emotions, and then that began to change who you were. So that began to make you lose enthusiasm and focus. Okay, so let's go on to number two. So I hope y'all wrote that down, because as I say, I can't remember everything. Number two, you stop associating with your Christian friends and started to pick up more friends outside of the church who don't go to church. I'm going to let the crickets crick on that one. You stop associating, you starting to distance yourself, and you don't see it. You're starting to distance yourself from the men and women of God, because either two reasons, okay? Number one, because of what Pastor E just said, they're not understanding what you're going through. So how they're speaking to you and how they're talking to you, you're not receiving it. It's more irritating to you. Trust me, hello, somebody, been there, okay? Or number two, you don't want to know the truth. So you're starting to disassociate yourself from the men and women of God. So again, it's either one of those two things. But either way, you still are the common denominator in that situation. So you're starting to leave your Christian friends, and you're picking up outside friends, not outside friends that go to other churches, not outside friends that go to your sister church or, you know, go to conferences and women's conferences, men conferences, or this. No, you're picking up friends that don't even go to church at all. You're picking up friends that are still sitting on bar stools. And you're starting to relate more to them and hang out more with them and not understanding what's going on with you. You're depressed.
Yes.
All right? So I'm keep taking notes. Number three, because I'm going to get these out because I want to hear Pastor E. Number three, you are finding yourself fighting with fleshly struggles more than you used to. You're finding yourself fighting with fleshly struggles more than you used to. And you know why? Because your emotions need some type of numbing medication. And we all know that the flesh knows how to satisfy itself. It knows how to relieve itself. It knows how to calm itself down. It knows how to do that, whether it's taking a drink, whether it's going to bed with somebody, whether it's going shopping, whether it's overeating. The flesh knows how to say, okay, oh, you all riled up in your emotions. I know what to do, how to get you to calm down. And so now you find yourself back in the struggle and back in the fight, and you wonder where this fight coming from. And you trying your heart. I mean, it's actually driving you to almost, literally almost driving you. It's actually putting you in the car, driving you to the liquor store, buying the bottle for you, and helping you to drink. And so what happened, so you have to realize, men and women, God, that is a sign of Christian depression. Because, again, why would the enemy just give you textbook symptoms? Because for that, what you're going to do is you're going to struggle with it. And then one of my other points I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tag that in is because now you start to feel guilty. You're starting to feel guilt and you're starting to feel shame and you don't know how to come from up under it. And I'm not talking about the immediate guilt and shame because, you know, we know that, you know, what we did was wrong. But I'm talking about, we're talking about months and years later, you're still feeling the guilt and shame for something that you've done wrong. The devil has now put you back in a depressed state of mind to do the pity party, the woe is me, why my life ain't, why I got to go through this, why I had to go through this. He's putting you back, but all he had to do was start with the guilt and shame of something that you did wrong. And what's happening also is not only is he making you feel guilty and he's making you feel miserable about it, but also, too, what happens is now that opens up the door that you actually are now a secret hater. And you're secretly jealous of your friends or your family or this, that, and the other, because now you don't see your life where you thought it should be, and now you're secretly jealous and hating on them. All because of a mistake that you made, and now you back rehashing that mistake. You back re-eating and reliving that mistake. And guess what? Now you also even starting to think that you're not even worthy of any type of blessing. You're not even worthy of God even blessing you. You have to understand, men and women of God, what the enemy is trying to do. And like again, I'm talking from experience, because it was interesting, because I'm a celebrator of anybody. So I thought, but I really am. I'm a celebrator of anybody. If one of my sisters came to me and said she's getting married, I would celebrate her, and I would literally genuinely be happy for her. But what it was I was telling myself, she deserves it. I don't. See, I done been 3 times divorced and got, baby daddy and this, that, and the other. No, that ain't for me anyway. She deserves that. She can go ahead on and be happy. I was secretly hating on her, hating on myself at the same time, all because of a mistake that I made. My last point that I'm bringing Pastor E in is that you are you're not able to make major decisions. That is a big sign of depression. I'm going to tell you why. It's because you begin to give away your responsibility to someone else. You are the leader, but you rather be led. A lot of this is happening in pastors and leaders in the church. They're tired, and they know they can't quit because they before the people. So what they rather do instead of quitting, they'll just rather give the responsibilities to somebody else to make the decisions. You have mentally checked out, and you are no longer making decisions. You're just going along with whatever anybody says. That is a big debt. Now, that's the one I really need to hit some leaders with. Take back. Now, I don't want you to make decisions in the state that you're in. We need to work on the state that you're in. But understand what you have done. You have mentally and emotionally checked out from your flock, and now you're allowing the administrator or the deacon or the whoever to make the decisions. And on top of that, you kind of sort of not around the church like you used to be and letting them run the church. You're depressed, man or woman of God. And the devil don't mind taking out as many people as he can because of the state that you're currently in. Because especially as leaders and as men and women of God, guess what? We got a lot of people looking at us. We got a lot of people depending upon us. And if I can, and the devil feel if I can get them off and I can get them jacked up and their mind and their emotions and this, that, and the other, and get them all the way down to they quit ministry, they close the church, they commit suicide or whatever, all them people that they were to help now don't have no help at all. This is real. When I tell you all 5 steps that I just gave y'all, I just lived it. I have lived it. For the last about 4 months, I have lived each and last in one of these steps. And it wasn't until I cried out to God, what in the world is going on? Who am I? I'm not even recognizing this person anymore. I know who I am. It's one of them things, Pastor E, is I love who I am, and I love what I do for God, but I hate who I am, and I hate what I'm doing. Who in the world says that but a person who's depressed? And I had to cry out to God and say, what's going on? God began to show me and send me triggers to say, hey, I need you to look into this. I need you to look into that. I need you to look into why you're not making decisions. I need you to look. You understand? But like you said, when you seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added. All this was added to me to show me this one thing, Valoris, you are in a depressed state. And God has pulled me out. But it came with some digging and some cutting and some being real with me and God. If you don't have somebody that you can talk to, at least be real with God. I'm so sorry, y'all. Me and God, we kept it 100 up in here. Because I wanted to help. I wanted to be better. I wanted to do better. Go ahead, Pastor E. What you got for me?
Well, that was the one thing that I wanted to share with anybody out there is that church can't fix depression. Yes, it can assist. People can't fix depression. It's not something that is just something that should be overlooked. I mean, the churches for so long said, no, just go pray about it, fast and pray, and it'll go away.
Right.
And some people run and hide because they weren't given the understanding that depression is when that self-doubt comes in. There's not a person on this line that does not experience self-doubt or some negative thought daily. Now, whether you sit and lie in that, we don't do that anymore because we know how to seek first. Oh my God. But don't get it twisted that just because we're using the word depression, that you're off the hook. First of all, if you search, and I did today, there's not many times in the Bible that depression is even used. It's not even you were a point you could say, I see depression in there. But there are a lot of translations through a lot of verses of words called like downcast, brokenhearted, trouble, miserable,
right,
despairing, mourning. Among it, there's many, many more. But if you could just identify with any of those five, six attributes right there, those are forms of depression. Don't think you're alone. Don't think that you know you're a great man and woman of faith. Don't think something is wrong on the inside when you have to experience those things, because the enemy, as the woman of God said, is that those are the attributes he can use against us. The worry, the pride. Oh, I want to throw that one in there, because pride is what they say comes before the what? The storm.
When
we all get ourselves so pumped up and we all that, but we really know in that midnight hour and you're by yourself that you really are not confident. You don't have the birthrights that God has given you, because the enemy is continually trying to keep you in a self-doubting mode. Oh yeah, he comes to rob, kill, and destroy your mind.
Right.
And I know we're here today to say we're here to help, because I could tell you personally, daily I fight a situation that comes up, and here comes doubt. Oh, it's not going to work out. Get out the way. I need to seek God. Now, that doesn't mean that the obstacles aren't going to come. It's
right.
just what you
That's
do
right.
when they come. Do you sit down, or do you get up and say, oh no, I can go through all things because of Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Because I remember to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I know that God will come through. Oh, depression is a epidemic. It's a disease.
Right.
My sister, they have medical studies of the brain. But I'm here to share today is that we're talking to believers today. And if you don't know God as your personal Lord and Savior, dial one right now. We're going to go ahead and give you the starter pack, and you can get in right now. He's no respecter person. You don't need a 10-year relationship. You need a right now relationship with him, and God will receive you now. You don't have to go through all of the things people say you have to go through. You just need to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that he is Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and that he died for your sins on Calvary. Oh, you already on the other side. It's just now time to go to the next level. But for those believers out there that say, well, you know, I thought I was different because I went through. Don't you remember David? David was
right.
troubled and battled with despair. Don't you remember Elijah? Elijah was discouraged, weary, and afraid.
Yeah.
Jonah, he was angry and wanted to run away. Does that sound like you? Job suffered through great loss, devastation, and physical illness. Oh my God.
Even Peter.
But I want to give a side note. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, I said something earlier about appeal. I am not discarding medical help. I am not saying that God did not send the right doctor to you to give you the right medication. I'm saying that before we go get the medicine, seek
Correct.
God first
and
ask for help. The woman of God said, and I can embrace that, because you were in that lonely place and you said, no, I'm going to listen because I need help and I want help. I want change. I don't want to live in this lifestyle anymore, but it has to come from you, family, just like it has to come from me, and it has to come from the woman of God. Well, Moses, he was grieved over the sins of his people. Those are all signs of depression. Jeremiah, he wrestled with what? Great loneliness, feelings of defeat, insecurity. Those are all those same spirits when the enemy is trying to rob you of your faith. Oh, that's
and
what
I'm
it all comes back down
to. I'm glad that you brought those individuals out in the Bible, because the faith giants, the soldiers of Christ, you really need to believe, because what happens is that you feel as if anyone knew what you were going through,
come on,
that they would judge you and feel that you're not qualified for the call. That's how I was feeling. I was feeling as far as, okay, I'm about to lose my natural mind. And how can you be a pastor and you're telling me you depressed and you going through? How can you help anybody? I mean, can you see the neck rolling and you know, the little sassiness and whatever? How can you help in somebody? And you talking about you crying all night long and that? How can you? Because I'm keep going to the source who can help me. I'm going to God. And either God is taking me through this so I can relate to other people, or he's taking me through this for myself. He really was taking me through it for myself, because there was a lot of things still in my
past,
right, or, you know what I'm saying, that still needed to be addressed. And please let me tell you, and I don't care if I say it on every broadcast, don't let nobody tell you what you should already be over. They be like, well, that happened 20 years ago. You ain't over that now. No, I'm not. I'm not over it yet. Please don't talk to me like that. Let
Come
me
on.
And God do this. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So don't
yes,
let
yes,
nobody
yes.
downplay how you feel. You can't downplay how I feel. I know how I feel, and I know what's hurting me. That's just, we always say again, why am I going to go to the doctor and tell him my head hurt, but my leg is half cut off?
Oh, come on.
That don't make no sense. I need to go. My leg is cut off. This is the problem right here, is my leg. If that problem is that first divorce, second divorce, or whatever the case may be, that's the problem. That's hurting me. That's what I'm going
to
deal with. And then
that's
once
what needs
I
to,
deal with
and
that.
And that's what needs to be dealt with.
That's
you know,
what
people,
needs to be dealt with.
You can't sweep it under the rug.
No.
It's time to open up them closets, them old shoe boxes.
Oh my God.
It's time to do a spring cleaning in all of our lives, because we cannot go to the next level with all this weight.
You can't.
People
and
say, why am I not growing?
Thing.
You got too much weight.
You dragging. Listen, I had a girlfriend who just moved this past weekend, and she talked about it took her 4 days to move. You got too much stuff, boo. You need to get rid of some of that stuff. I still got to go back and clean out the garage. We're still moving a week later. That's too much stuff. How can you move around and float in the spirit of God with all that stuff on you? And let me bust up another bubble, Pastor E. Please help me. Please help me, Jesus.
Come on now.
Family secrets need to be put out on the table today.
Today.
Stop carrying around them secrets, because what you're doing is you're hurting the family and you're hurting the person who the secret is about. You don't understand it? I will tell you about it. I did not find out I was adopted until I was 30 years old. I didn't have a clue, didn't know nothing about it. Everybody else around me knew about it but me. And when that thing finally came out, it passed the E, and on top of that, I was an evangelist at the time. When that thing came out, I did lose my whole entire natural mind, Holy Ghost, spirit, and everything else. Went back to the streets for 3 years.
Oh, my God.
Stop it, y'all. Stop it.
Get it out.
If it's something, as they say, no, if put it like this. Number one, if what you're about to do is going to hurt somebody, then don't do it. Because eventually, one day, you want to talk about it. You want to tell about it. So you might
it's
as well
come out.
Now.
No, it's going to come out.
Right. So, and all that other stuff from way back when and way back before, baby, just go. Listen, let's just get rid of that. That's one of them big things in the closet. That's that thing way back in the back of the closet on the top shelf that you normally don't find until Big Mama or somebody Mama passed and you go clean out the closet, and then all of a sudden you find the secret. No, bring that thing off the top of the shelf now. Let's put it out there. Let's talk about it, because that's what's keeping you depressed, because you know the secret.
My God.
Believe it or not. Do you think you can actually really carry that around and be free? Seriously? Okay, Pastor, go for it, please, because I'm about to.
Well, no. See, we sit in the same rut that we've always been in. Oh yeah, we go to church, we put on a nice suit because you got a nice job. You go to work, you get your hair done, you get a haircut, you got that fade. But we still are not transparent enough to really be free.
Right.
So much baggage and so many things that we are ashamed of. That is not God. I was telling somebody today, God did not close that door for you. That's all the enemy is trying to do is close your doors. But God, that I believe in, has a bigger door. Just let it go and get ready for the next door. Because for every door that's been closed, whether it was time or you were overdue, and a bunch of us are overdue, you should have been and got out that door. You knew it was time to go to the next one. But the next door is waiting because God says knock. He didn't say one. He said all doors will be opened unto you. Oh, I'm still seeking, y'all. But I want to encourage somebody else because Jesus himself was deeply anguished over what laid before him. Don't you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? After his closest confidential ministers could not even watch and pray with him, he said to God, God, if there is any way, he was depressed over people not being able to be what they should have been and do what they have been trained to do. Just as you were preaching, I looked up here and God gave me a training step. And I put it together because we have to learn how to follow instructions and finish each course. Go to the next level of completion because I'm not the only one and you aren't either. We all have to work on our own selves. Because the change I want to see, it must begin in me and it must stay with me. And it must stay with me. Come on now. See, I'm talking right now because this is me confessing. To my brothers and sisters, I'm not perfect, but I'm working hard to get to the next place. And I'm not going to stay in one dormant place and depression will not reign in me. Oh, does it still come? Yes, it comes. But do I let it in? That's the thing we got to leave here tonight is that you can resist. The Bible says if you resist, you don't have to put a name on it. Anything that is not of God, it will flee. But if you pay a little attention to it, woman of God, Just give it a little bit of attention. Just that one word. Oh, it's over now. It's a wrap. Depression.
Especially for a woman, all you gotta do is bat your eyes at it. It's gonna come over to you.
Ooh, Lord, wait. I just want to open up this for those that have not been real about this. Men and women go about just about the same stuff. I'm talking about physically. I was sitting up in. Well, y'all gonna say, Pastor B, y'all you putting it out there too much. I was sitting in a cool place of my apartment with the Bible reading, just fan going, love a fan on it all time, and it just perfect. And all of a sudden, I broke into a hot sweat. It just like I started sweating. I had to turn the AC on. And men aren't willing to tell this. We go through the same kind of things that you guys go through. We just don't talk about it as much and let you know that we be feeling like we're 300 pounds, but we get on the scale, we only weigh 200.
Mm-hmm.
Bloated and all that stuff, especially get over 50. But anyway, I just had to get that one out of there. But as each and every one of us are going, we have to know that if Christ was willing to overlook, because he said, if there's any way that this cup can pass me, he's before we can get any farther, woman of God, he said, but not my will, but your. See, he seeks first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's righteousness? Making right choices to say, before I do anything, I'm going to seek.
Right.
Before I let it get in here, I'm going to seek. Yes. Before my flesh take over, I'm going to seek.
Right. You got to take your natural flesh to God.
Yes.
The thing is and I understand, please hear me, and I'm again, remember, I can't say everything all right. I ain't got no master's in English. But understand, when I was going through this natural disaster, I didn't have time to go up in the third heaven and speaking in tongues. Okay? I went straight naturally to my father.
Yes.
Crying. What is wrong with me? I am hurting right now. I cried so much till I lost my voice.
Mm.
I went naturally. I took my natural self and laid it before my spiritual father. Stop trying to go spirit when you're dealing with something natural. Don't you think he know who you are? Don't you think that God knows, like, you are a human being and you're a natural human being? But you want to have it all right and I's crossed and T's crossed and this, that, and the other, and he coming in the shando and everything else going to Father. I'm like, look, listen, I'll be like, God, look in here, bruh. Let me holler at you for a minute, dude.
Oh, come on.
To go natural. If I want help and I want help now, I'm not going to call 911 and say, 911, who am I speaking to? And what is your name? And how is your day? And I ain't going to do all that. Listen, my house on fire. You better send somebody now. I'm at 951. You know what I'm saying? Now.
Yeah, right now. Yeah, no. Not tomorrow. And not yesterday. Right now,
we don't have time for no proper greeting and no proper conversation. If I'm calling the 911 operator, I don't need to know her name. She barely might get my name. We need immediate help. So what I'm trying to do, men and women, God, and I'm trying to say, listen, starting today, starting tonight, after this broadcast, I need some of y'all to go into that room, and I need you to lay your natural self out before the Lord, and I need you to get it out. Start crying, start complaining, start fussing, start hollering, whatever you got to do.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Mm. I promise you, he came and saw about me so quick. Before I knew it, Pastor E, I was asleep, and it was the next day.
My God.
God came
whom
and
the Son
me
is set free, is free, and free indeed. Oh, I feel free tonight. I know someone out there saying, this is the beginning of something great, because opening up and being willing to be transparent, these are the things that we go through. And the longer you hold it in, that's the more defeat that you're going under. Listen, and it's not really about you. I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings. And what you say earlier, don't throw rocks and don't shoot me. It's not. And that's not proper English either. Oh, forget it. It ain't about you. It's only how you can discredit God. It's not about me. It's that if he can get me to fall, I'm now someone else that thought that they could find God because of what testimony or what I've been able to be a part of. But now I can destroy God. But, you know, and God is great, but it's in other people's eyesight. See, we're supposed to be doing things to show that God is great for everybody.
Right.
And
I don't
yes,
care if you 50, 60, 70
whatever it
years
is.
Old. Stop putting this expectation on yourself that you should have it all figured out and together by now. Boo, that ain't going to happen.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. You said something in the beginning. I'm going to say this, and this is something that we all need to pay attention to. 75% of the people that are on those corners that are twitching and walking around with half clothes on and broken shoes, they didn't start out that way. They started out by getting a check. Someone told them, if you act crazy in front of them doctors, I'm telling you from experience, because I got out the penitentiary and somebody said, man, just go and get a check, man. Act crazy, go in there, you know, urine on yourself and do this and do that. I said, you lost your mind. But people still do that. And if you, whatever spirit you let in, oh yeah, that spirit gonna take over. And before you know it, the people that did it for a check, they got checks for 3 years, but they've been out in the streets 25 years, and 22 of them years they ain't had nothing because they can't even remember who they are. Their minds have been destroyed. The enemy is here to kill minds, not flesh.
Right.
He's trying to kill the spirit.
Right.
God does not dwell in your kidney. He dwells in your mind. Not in your heart that's on the left hand side that pumps blood, that artery. He dwells in our minds, and the enemy wants to destroy the mind because he cannot have the mind of God, but because of Jesus. We all have a right. We all have a right to the mind of Christ. And I'm going to give it to you in a second, but I want to share this. That all these people, all those men of God that we shared, that went through some form of depression. I want to tell you the truth about all that. Watch this. God was still close with them. He was near to them. In the Bible, Psalms 34:18, it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in the spirit. See, he was there for you in the good days and the bad days. You just didn't pay attention.
Yes.
He was there to take away your pain. You just didn't seek him first. He was there to get you out of that tough situation. You didn't call his name. He was there with his hands open wide saying, I care. I'm here. And we never asked him first. I challenge each and every one of us to seek God first in everything you do and watch stuff change in your life. Every situation. Oh, hold on, brother. That's a good. That sounds like a good deal. But I got to talk to my consultant. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, righteousness means you're willing to accept. No, that's not for you. And I guarantee you, you're gonna get more no's than you get yeses.
Right.
But the yes is yes, and God will do for you what He'll do for anybody. Save you. We're going to take a moment, open up the lines. If anybody has a question, comment, need prayer. There may be one person on this line, and we said it earlier, you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior. You can get to know him right now. And no, I don't have a 10-year program for you. I got a right now program for you that if you could change your thinking, you'll change everything else in your mind, everything else in your whole life. If you change the way you think and know that Jesus is Lord, that he can save you, that he's there for you, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Your life is already on the other side. See, that's one thing we don't understand is that God is available for everybody. But until you cross over into the accessible him, a part of him by believing in him, that's when you get the I will not perish, but have everlasting life. Come on over to Jesus, thou one. Minister Carolyn, our co-host for Real Talk with Pastor E on Saturday mornings. Welcome to Real Talk with Pastor E. I mean, listen, I get ahead of myself. Oh, welcome to Let's Talk About It with myself and Pastor V.
Good evening. Praise the Lord. Oh, my God. This was right on point, my sister. I am, like, sitting here jumping up and down and, like, I was, like, smiling and, like, help has came. Oh, my God. It's like I have been stuck. I mean, from the beginning to the end, it's like this broadcast, it has pumped me up. It has let me know that I have been in depression, but I'm not going to claim that from this night on.
Thank you, God.
You have given me some tools. And it's a couple of things real quick. First of all, I know that I need surgery. I need to be – there's a lot of things that need to be cut and worked on, but not the doctor. God needs to help me because right. I have, like – I can't say – I have just been dragging the baggage with me, you know, and some things I do things and expect different results. And so many things that you have said, and it's like I have not been delivered of everything. And when you said about the church and the people you hang with, and I do things in my community. And when I do things, I go back to the corner I used to hang on. I won't go to the right spot because I know them demons is waiting, but I go to the area. And I find myself, when I'm over there, people will walk up to my car and they'll cuss, and I'll say, well, God bless you, and I'll say what I need to say, but I'll drive off, and 10 minutes later, I'm cussing. Or I find myself over there more often than regular. Like tonight, they wanted me to come. It's a vigil, a girl's funeral that we grew up in, and it's like, we need you to pray. And I'm like, well, I thought about it. I could have a candlelight vigil for her at my own house, and I could pray because I'm starting to hang around these folks too much. I'm going in the park. I'm feeding. I'm doing activities. It's just, I mean, this was just a wake-up call for me on that. And then with the at church, it's I have been feeling some type of way. It's like I don't feel like being coming from the street and being a drug addict. I don't feel that sometimes that I fit in. When I do go do things in the neighborhood, some people say I think I'm too good. And then in the church, some people may look at me because I don't come in there with a top flight hat on and some heels. And for one, I'm too big to wear heels. And I go through this with my sister, too. I mean, she wears $200 suits, $100 jogging suits. I can go to the swap meet, buy me something. As long as I'm clean and my jaws ain't torn, I'm cool. And
right,
so
right.
My sister is like, you have a – no, because I cannot pretend to be something
right.
that I'm not. And,
right.
and when I feel that way, I see other people – it might just be me, the way they look at me. And that pulls me away from the church, and I'm like, hey, I can still do God's mission. I could go on the street, and I could do my own thing. I don't need to be here in the house of the Lord. But I do need a covering, and I do need to be
right.
fed. And that alone is depressing because sometimes I just think about church. I don't feel like they're using me there. And then I ask myself, why? Why am I a minister? And I still, there's a whole lot of things wrong. And I asked the bishop that ordained me, I'm like, why me? I still cuss. I still do this. And she was like, God knows your heart, but he also knows you can reach people that we can't reach. But now my question is, after listening to this broadcast, is how I can reach those people, but I'm not getting the help I need for myself. I got to be right before I can help. Of course, the kids, I love them. I could do little things for them. But I'm talking about a really, really, the real hookup with Jesus like I have I have with the
real
dealer.
Hookup.
You feel me? I mean,
I understand what you're saying, because when I started preaching, God said, don't preach to their faces, preach to their hearts, because they're not going to accept you with 5-inch heels, you know, long fingernails and your eyelashes. So I already know that you're going to already go in not looking like them. And I did not call you to change you. I called you to help people just like you. And so therefore, the thing, who was my teacher, who my teacher was, God himself. I
Amen.
Got with God. Since you called me, then you teach me and you train me. Yes, I will go sit up under the ministry. Yes, I will go to church, and not because that's where I need to, you know, also be. But God, this is, I'm checking into your classroom every Saturday, Monday, whatever day. I'm checking into your classroom every day. You show me how to do this. That's all you need, baby. That's all you need. Then from there, he will show you the people that you need to connect with outside of him that will bring more of the revelation that you need.
Well, she didn't tell you that. She didn't tell you that I mentor her.
Yes, and I did.
But she just said the same thing I told her.
Than anywhere.
Get you to, it's time to get us together. I'm talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you. And that means.
Right.
Everybody on their own
mm-hmm.
to go to that level. And that doesn't take away from fellowship. This is one thing that I'm really proud to be a part of. This is that we can still fellowship. Guess what? Sunday mornings. Still don't know the time until this Sunday. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit tell me. But we're going to have a Sunday conversation with Pastor E every Sunday for the rest of the 2018 season, just to give people an opportunity to fellowship somewhere. There's a lot of people that still won't go to church. And we've gotten
right.
a lot of requests to do something on Sundays early. And now we've been blessed with that opportunity to do that. Sunday conversation.
Okay.
We'll also go live on Facebook for that conversation also. I hate doing that because most people would rather watch the video than dial in and listen to the broadcast. But we're going to be obedient to the Lord in that manner. Okay. And we can still fellowship with one another. That's why
mm-hmm.
we're on Facebook. Let's stay connected. Let's communicate. Let's show that we
mm-hmm.
can use this tool that whoever created it or devised of it, that we
right.
can use this tool to become closer
mm-hmm.
as brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen?
Right. And my
Amen.
Sister,
and
you keep your head up.
Chatera is on the line, too. I don't know if she has something to say, but Okay, because I had her on a three-way line. You know, I'm going to make sure they get all.
Oh, I know you like.
She'd be like,
but hold on, I got somebody else on hold. She'll have them muted on a five-way. And I'll be like, ooh, she worked that thing. She worked that thing there. Minister Carolyn, take a moment to share what's coming up tomorrow. I know tomorrow is going to be an awesome broadcast on Real Talk with Pastor E. We're opening up the dialogue tomorrow. We're talking about domestic violence next door. Come on, share a little something of what you got in store.
Okay, so last week we had the Lifers on, and I had asked the Justice Freedom Fighters to come on this week, but you invited them back. So I'm like, that'll be cool, too, because we could have two men and two women. So the Lifers, well, Everett and Gregory, they'll be back. They both done 25 years in prison. They both had been in relationships where they were abusive. They're apologetic for it, and they're on, you know, speaking.
No. Can I say this? Can I just say this?
Yes.
Not just apologetic, saved. Sold out for Jesus, and now are willing to tell their testimony and say they're sorry if they didn't do something wrong to you. That's powerful in itself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we have, I did reach out to Mr. Wyatt, and he's going to be on the show tomorrow because I thought, you know, we're women, we talk about kids, but for him to be on there with men that could hear his story and feel his pain, and that may make not just these two Lifers, but people that they connect with and come in touch with, may have a chain of effect on their lives as well once they hear a dad talk and tell his pain about how his daughter and grandson was killed. And so he's going to be on, and the two women from Justice Freedom Fight. So it should be really good.
Oh, it's going to be off the chain.
I didn't want to bother you. So yeah, it's going to be good. I hope everybody tunes in. I know we've been advertising. The Freedom Fighters have been advertising. And Gregory has been telling people. So I'm just praying. Well, whoever's on the line is who God wants to be on.
That's right.
Shatara has been depressed. I'm throwing her under the bus. So she got... I lost my best friend a couple weeks ago.
You can blame Pastor E, because that's probably something I probably rubbed off on me from Minister Carolyn.
Yes,
is that when it's bus time, we're gonna throw you under there. Please love me while I throw you under the bus.
Right. It's just been a hard few weeks. She's not throwing me under the bus. I got a little down because I lost my best friend April 23rd, and she passed away. And we had been friends 39 years, and I just kind of went. I just been grieving her, it's just been hard for me because, you know, it was hard because sometimes I think when she passed, I wasn't expecting it, and at the time, either we were having our first differences as friends. We were struggling as friends, like growing differently in different ways. And I think that was really hard on both of us because we had never really experienced that. Me being here in Vegas when I moved here and her being there, we got a chance to test how much we missed each other, but then handled it. I realized I was suppressing things because she was different than me. And she was always raised in church. And I learned how to love the Lord from my best friend and how to be, you know, all about family through her. Great things I learned from her, but I was more wild than her. She was a very quiet person. And since I shared most of my life with her family and with her, I think I tamed myself to be like her. And when I got away from her and started having other friends and meeting new people and doing different things and having more fun, I could see us struggling. We were struggling with one another when she passed. And I think it hurt me because she just, when she called me, she just said, I love you dearly. I always love you. And I said, I love you too. And then the next morning, she called me at 5 o'clock in the morning. She said, I can't breathe. I just can't breathe. And I said, well, you need to get up and do more walking around. And at 9:30, she was dead.
And it devastated me.
Because I just felt the feeling of I didn't say the right things. Did I believe she was really sick? Or, you know, I was going through all these things, or I should have told her something else. And you start going through all these things you think you didn't do right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't think that there's not
a person that I have met that has not went through that guilt at the time of someone's passing, because we're never expecting it anyway. So there's never a right time for anyone to leave us, because we're going to always have that question in your mind. Was I a good daughter? Was I a good son? That's something natural that's just going to come with time, because I've lost a lot of people and I've done the same thing. But over time, it goes away, because you were you and you were the best you that you could be for that person.
Right. And it's not on you.
Mm-hmm.
When you start saying, that's the one thing that's come up in my spirit. Just tell her it's not on her. And what God has done is released some pain and some sickness that was uncurable. I don't even know her, and I'm just telling you what the Spirit is speaking to me right now, and that's for you to be free. But don't. Amen. It's not a sin. It's not a sin to be depressed. It's not a sin to feel anguish and pain. It's not a sin. But what is a sin is that when we deny that God can set us free and give us the liberties. The Bible says that we're supposed to believe and rely on the liberties that came to us through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
And that lets me off the hook to know that whatever happens is not on me. And I'm going to do the best I can to be better in every area of my life. But what happened was not on me. And I'm going to accept the fact. And here's an encouraging word for you. And I was just talking to someone today, just this afternoon, about doing homegoing services. The number one thing that happens to me in a homegoing service is I get jealous. You mean, why do you get jealous? Well, the reason why I serve Jesus is so I can get to him. That's why I do what I do. So that day when he calls my name, I want to be one of the number. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You don't go to hell or heaven when someone passes away. You go to a resting place, but it's in the presence of the Lord. Ooh, what a better place to be. And I just get a little jealous in that area. But then I come back down and say, you know what, I'm still called to stay here. It's something else I need to finish. If he wanted me to go with her and be with them, I would already been there. Let me step up my game and find out what God wants me to do.
Amen.
Yeah, I think I've been kind of like, I was thinking about people. I was thinking, why is this so different to me? Because, I mean, I've had family members pass and a niece that passed, but it was a different kind of feeling to me, and I felt like I was going through a different kind of pain. And I thought maybe it was because even though you have family members that do pass away, you're not with certain family members all the time, every day, sharing things, doing things, growing together. You see some family members every now and then. And when they pass away, I don't know if you really do feel anything. You feel, oh, I lost a family member, and I'm going to go to their funeral, and then you go on. But when she passed, that was different. Because I feel like, okay, I spent my whole life with her since I was 11.
Right.
I grew up with her. I went to church with her. We raised our kids together. We had our first children together. We grew into women together. Mm-hmm. I don't know a part of my life that she wasn't in.
Right.
Ever. So it was different for me, and I don't know if I had really actually felt the death of a person, really.
Right.
So that was a big deal to me. even after losing a grandfather or a grandmother, I didn't feel the way I felt this time.
Right, right. And then
you
said in the beginning when you moved to Vegas, that separation, it was already a missing.
It was already there.
It was already a void there, you know, and now this happens where it could turn it over to make it think it was something else that God is saying, you know, let's work on the peace part to know, because you said you've done everything. We did this together. We did that together. Guess what? It's still everything. You still do everything else with her, too, because her spirit lives
right.
in you.
And
I can hear it so strong in you. Her spirit lives in you.
It does, because I was laughing at myself the other day. I woke up and I'm sitting here, and I remember I was at the place looking for something to wear to her funeral, and I had came out and I had this little tight little dress on, little lace and stuff, and I had the people laughing because all I could hear her saying is, "That's not that one. No, go take that off."
Oh my God.
Don't put that on. Go put take that off. And I was like, I just looked up. I said, "Would you shut up?" I said, "What you want me to wear?" I feel her talking to me all the time. Every time I look like I'm going left, I feel her tapping me on the shoulder, like, "No, no." Well, I'm like, "Oh, I can't get rid of you."
Yeah, elevate to that.
But I
elevate to that. Oh my God, hallelujah! That
yeah,
is dynamic.
But yeah, it was hard. And I'm glad I got Bubbles because I need her. She has really like lifted my spirit and made me, you know, get back to thinking about other parts of my life that's important too.
Amen. So, we're here for you, and we want to stay connected to you. Minister Bubbles can get you connected to myself and Minister Valores. Or any one-on-one, anytime
you're
just going through something, you call. We are available here at the Now Network and accessible to be there for you. So God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing. And come on tomorrow morning.
Thank you. Thank you, God.
Come on tomorrow morning for the
I will. I'll call tomorrow morning.
It's going to be
I'll call tomorrow morning.
Amen. Amen. Well, love you.
Love you guys, too, and I really appreciate it.
Amen.
Take care,
Mr.
later.
Kerman,
thank you,
both.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Bubbles.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Bubbles. You ain't going to never be able to get rid of that name. You know, when I was growing up, they called me Eddie. Oh, I hate that name. I even hated it when they called me that back then. It took me 10 years to get them to finally, don't call me that. I had to get angry with folks. Oh, my God. All right. But that is so awesome that God still keeps us connected in those areas. And I look forward to tomorrow morning. Minister Carolyn, Pastor V, any closing remarks from you? What's going on in your region?
What's going on in my region? Well, we just finished up a 3-day revival today, and I made sure I stay behind to do the broadcast. Anything else coming up? Nothing too much. I will definitely make sure that make sure you're friends with me on Facebook because it's always ever changing. I know God did drop in my spirit to do a 5-day community revival, not in a church, because again, like you said before, people are getting discouraged with the word church. So I'm looking for a community center here in the city of Milwaukee to have it in. 5-day revival, 5 different preachers, and that is a money-free revival. Mm. Nobody is getting paid, no musician getting paid, no preacher getting paid, and there will be no offering raised. I really need people to come. And make it about God.
Wait,
yes, I did, sir.
That's my kind of revival. Oh, my God.
Yes, because we got to get back to God. People need to hear. They need to listen. They need prayer. We need to pray for people. We need to, you know, we need one of them old-fashioned revivals and too much. And we understand that, you know, there is bills that need to be paid at the church. Don't get me wrong, because the tithes and offerings are needed for that. But sometimes when you have a 5-day revival, you tapping people out, y'all. They can't come with $50 every night. They can't come with $100 every night. They can't, you know, preachers is asking for, right, you got to bless the apostle. He want $800, the other one want $1,500, and this one want $300. Don't listen, they becoming too expensive, and it shouldn't be about the expense. It should be about the souls. Amen. So God has dropped it in my heart.
Keep us in the loop on that one.
Yes, I will.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, family, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This has been the kickstart of depression, the spirit of depression. I like that. The spirit of depression in the church. Yeah, we're talking about the church. Now you say, well, how does the building, the church get depression? That's not the church. The church is you. The church is me. And when we let this vessel, when we let this altar become contaminated with all those unworthy spirits, it is not to discredit anything but the relationship that we can have with God. I pray tonight you've been blessed. I pray tonight that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind, because you're willing to do better on your own. Know that you are loved, know that you are honored, and know that you are appreciated in Jesus' name. Like I said, join us tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 12 noon Eastern. Go backwards, Central and Pacific. For Real Talk with Pastor E, myself, and Minister Carolyn. Oh, yes, we're still talking about domestic violence next door. We want you, we know if you haven't even been affected, you know someone who has, that needs to talk, that needs to get it out. That's another opportunity, Real Talk with Pastor E, that you can let your thoughts be heard, that we can now come up with solutions from the Word of God. Amen. God bless you guys. But you remember, I can't do
one time saved. He will take care of you. He will take care of you. Trust and never doubt him. He'll bring you out.
Here we go.
Check it. Sometimes life can be a lonely road. Make you feel like you can't bear the load. But don't give in, cause there's one thing I know.
He has great thoughts of you, so don't give up, he's planned your breakthrough.
Sometimes your friends can cause the greatest pain. Make your tears flow like the pouring rain. Let me tell ya, don't give in, not all in vain, no. He'll bring you out, yeah.
Hey!
What?
He
will take care of you.
That's right.
Hey! He will take care of you. He will take care of you.
Say it!
We'll take care of you. Now say this. Your hands, this is
what? Say, it's all right.
What? This evening.
It's all right.
Yeah.
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 Say,
yeah.
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 Yeah. Not always been what I needed to be. I've made mistakes that brought me to my knees. And still it looks